know by now that we're in the midst of an AI revolution, but what almost nobody tells you is the part that actually matters. What to use, how to use it, and whether any of it will make you any money. And that is the entire conversation today. My guest is Alicia Little. She is the CEO of AI Innovision. She's been teaching people how to build businesses online for 25 years, long before this current wave. And her AI training program is accredited, and her clients span finance, healthcare, government, and the entrepreneurial space. People call her the Queen of AI, and it's for a good reason. What I so appreciated about this conversation is that Alicia doesn't sell AI as some magic. She sells it as a skill, something you get better at on purpose, the same way you get good at anything else that helps you run your business. There's a lot of noise out there telling you AI is either going to save you or replace you. This conversation is the grounded version. What is it actually good for? What isn't it good for? And what do you do with it on a Tuesday? By the end of this, you'll have her actual playbook for running a business with AI, the three-step process for writing prompts that get real results, how to build an AI team when you're a team of one, and the one question that she says tells you exactly where AI belongs in your business. We also get into the honest version of all of this, what has to stay human, and how to use AI responsibly in your life and your business. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Here's Alicia Little. Alicia, welcome to Aspire.
Thank you, Em. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you, the queen of AI, as you're known on the streets.
Thank you.
I'll tell you that for free. For me, you have one of the clearest perspectives that's out there on AI, especially as it pertains to how you should use AI to actually make money.
Right.
And that is what I love so much about what you talk about constantly. But before we get into this masterclass, I really want you to just kind of outline what you want people to walk away with after listening to today's episode.
Yeah, I want people to walk away with saying like, okay, now that I heard that and I heard some strategies of what's possible with AI, I'm going to try it. Because here's what I love for all small business owners and entrepreneurs and the people that are listening to this episode is that they're saying, how can I have an advantage with artificial intelligence? So I want to give them some strategies, techniques, and prompts that they can actually practice and use. So they walk away saying, now I can do it. I'm going to step into this and I'm going to give it a try.
I'm so glad you say that, because that's exactly what I want. And I think that's what most people want.
Yeah.
Because there's so much conversation around AI at the moment, and yet it can still feel so overwhelming.
True.
So if somebody actually wants to make money with AI and they say to you, I don't even know where to start, where is the place to actually start?
Yeah. So the first thing I would tell them is go to the AI tool you use the most, because it's very likely that they are using an AI tool, and then ask that AI tool the question. So the more that we use these tools, the more it knows about us. So if they just start off with, based on what you know about me, so if you've been using your AI tool for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and you've been asking it questions, working with it, it's been building things for you, it knows more about you than you think. So you say, based on what you know about me, give me 5 strategies for how I can make money with the skills and the talents that I already have. And then say, ask me any clarifying questions that you need before you complete this task. And now it's going to say, all right, well, I need to know this about you and this about you before I can actually complete the task, if it doesn't know enough about you. So when it asks you those questions, you answer the questions like as much as you can, pour everything you can into it, answer the question, and then it's going to give you your strategy right there.
I love that you say that, like start with what you know, because again, I think the landscape can feel so overwhelming, and you're going to introduce us to a bunch of new tools. I can already feel it today. But one of the things that fascinated me when I did my research about you is that you actually cleared your calendar and decided that for 2 weeks, you would just learn everything that you could about ChatGPT.
Yes.
And I just thought that that was so impressive. When you look back on those 2 weeks, what do you think you saw and what did you learn?
Yeah. So when I first started, and this was back in 2022 and ChatGPT just came out, I was on the second day it came out. But the results that I got back at first were not impressive. But I had used some other AI tools before that, Jasper and Writer. So I knew a little bit about these AI tools, but I wasn't impressed with the results that I got with ChatGPT. But here's the game changer. It's free.
Is that?
It's free, right? So when they release their free version, then I'm like, everybody is going to get on this. And you see ChatGPT's growth growing so quickly in those first few days that it was out. So when I locked myself up for 2 weeks, I went into the basement and I figured it all out, locked myself up. But it was in the failures that I learned the most. So when ChatGPT came back and it started off with, I hope this message finds you well. And in conclusion, and that, you know, I'm like, this sounds so AI. So how do I now make it not sound like AI? I want it to sound like me. So then I just thought for a minute, well, what if I give it my writing? What if I give it my stories? What if I tell it? What if I train this tool to know so much about me and then to tell it to write as if it was my ghostwriter?
And there was no trepidation in you at that point. Because I feel so many people are scared to give information. They're scared to open up too much. Like, how have you been able to do that in a way that still safeguards what it is that you do? Because right. At the end of the day, you are a woman with a business, with a consultancy, right. And you still want to be able to offer and quite rightly charge for your services. So right. What is that? Like, what's the pull there, the right. Push and the pull?
Well, when I first started doing this, I was making sure that the information that I put in there wasn't proprietary information. Right. And then as they evolved and grew, ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, all these tools, they do have safety guardrails in there. So I tell everybody, like, you need to understand what the data privacy rules of every tool that you use are, because most of them, their data privacy says in the default of the tool, we can take all of your content or anything you type into the tool and use it to train our models. And nobody wants that. So you have to go into the settings that say data privacy and turn that off and say, no, I don't want my content to be used to train the models.
So that when you're uploading your writing, essentially, correct. That's somewhat safeguarded.
Correct.
All right. So let's get down to brass tacks.
Sure.
Because anyone who is listening to this show, I feel like they almost have like the basics, right? We did an amazing episode that was really about understanding how you can start to use AI. But what right. I love about what you teach so clearly is the ways that we can generate money, the ways okay. that we can take our small businesses and actually expand the knowledge, the team, the resources. And so when you think about who you see like actually making money from the tools that you're using, what does that look like? Like, walk me through the categories of businesses
sure.
that actually can be like most best and quickly affected.
First, I will say that any business that's leaning into AI is making more money leaning into AI when they're using it strategically, right? And so if you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, you can use AI in your business. So for a person who's like lost and they're looking at the screen and they say, I have no idea where to start, that's the best thing to do, is just to tell AI, I have no idea where to start. So ask me 15 questions about myself and my business and my goals so that you can help me get started. My true goal is to grow, multiply, and expand my business. Ask me the 15 questions. So you don't have to really know what to ask it. You just have to know that it's a conversation that you're having with AI, and think of it as a business strategy coach. If you're sitting across from a strategy coach, the coach is going to want to know 15 things about you in order to help you in your business. So tell AI, ask me 15 questions. And then now that it gets to know more about your business, now it can advise you better. But a lot of people just go to the AI tool and they say, help me grow my business. But the AI tool doesn't know anything about your business. That would be like you sitting down with a human and saying, help me grow my business. You're like, who are you? What's your name? Let's start from the beginning. So I like to tell whichever AI tool you're using, Claude, ChatGPT, Gemini, Manus, that I like it to create a personal intelligence blueprint about me. And so you say, create a personal intelligence blueprint about me. Ask me questions that you need to know about me in order to serve me as my business coach. And so now it's going to create questions. You answer them. You're going back and forth. And then you say, now lock this in your memory. Lock in my personal intelligence blueprint in your memory. They all have memory. And so it's going to lock it in its memory. And now it can recall different things about you as it's doing different things. So you're like, okay, write an article for me now and make sure you include my personal intelligence blueprint. And so now that article that it writes is so personalized to you and who you are and what your business is, because you took the time to create this personal intelligence blueprint, which is like a profile of who you are and who your
totally.
Business is.
I mean, the prompting piece is really real, right? Like,
yes.
I have learned to be a better prompter. And I think one of the biggest, I mean, it's difficult because in, you know, we're all trained, right? We
yes.
all have a way that we would, you know, back in the day, use a search engine
that's
and
right.
you'd have a finite question and you'd, you know, send it off and it typically is one sentence. I think the biggest skill that I learned was actually like dictating, speaking.
Right.
Because again, you ask in a way that is much fuller. It's much more well-rounded. It tends to be longer and more complex, like in the prompt, in the information that you give. And then the information that comes out is so much better. That's a tiny tip. Like, how do you think about prompting in the most efficient and best practice way?
Here's the thing. You're right. So many people are even held back from using the tools because they don't know how to prompt properly. And prompting is just the information that you're giving the tool in order to get the result that you want. So what I tell people to do is walk through this three-step process. And the first part of the process is open up the tool and just do a brain dump. Tell it everything that you want. I need to write a speech for a women's empowerment event that I'm speaking at next week. And you just leave it like that. And then you go to the beginning of that brain dump and you say, clean up this prompt for clarity and impact. And you put a colon there. And then your brain dump is after that. And you push enter. And now it cleans up the prompt. And it says, you know, it turns that messy two sentences you had into a well-structured prompt. And then you look at it. And if everything looks good,
so you're prompting for the prompt?
You are. You're having the AI tool create the prompt from the brain dump that you gave.
Well, and that's not what I'm doing.
But it's so much easier to use my prompt,
but no, you're absolutely right. You get the prompt refined.
Right.
And then you use the prompt.
Correct. But there's three steps. So step number three. So step one was the brain dump, and then you tell it to clean it up for clarity and impact. That's step two, is you get a nice prompt now and you're like, that's exactly what I wanted to say, but didn't know how to say it. And then step three is that you say, turn this into a super prompt. And a super prompt starts off with act as a, so it starts off with a role, with a goal, with, it just even gives you a better prompt that way. So it takes minutes, literally 2 minutes, to just have the AI tool create the prompt for you off of your messy prompt, and then you are good to go.
It's taking you about 5 minutes to give us some value. I feel like people should keep listening, because that to me is one of those things that's so simple,
because
we're all using prompts. We all know our prompts can be better. We've all seen our results get better, the better we become at prompting.
You're
so just cleaning that up, asking for a super prompt is going to actually dramatically change the results that you get.
Dramatically change. And then this is what you teach your teams how to do. And if you're a content creator or an entrepreneur, then you can now sell prompt packs to your industry. So that super prompt, you say, hey, turn this super prompt into a template that anyone in my industry can use. And so now you start getting these templates and you're like, what? This looks great. This is for a speech. This is for captions for social media. And so now you can build your prompt library that way.
A prompt library.
Yes.
Do you have a prompt library?
Of course I do.
That you refer back to constantly.
I do. Yes, I do.
What does that look like?
So for different things that I do, I'll save my best prompts. So if I'm doing an event for, you know, real estate investors, I have my special prompts for real estate investors, as opposed to I'm doing an event for entrepreneurs or for daycare center owners. So you have, you know, different prompt libraries for the different industries that can help them when they're saying, oh, I need a prompt for my social media captions, to write great captions for my industry. Then you say, okay, you know, this is your prompt library, and you pull that prompt out and paste it right in. Otherwise, you could go through the brain dump process. But I always like to give people a place to start at. So if you're a leader in your industry, I tell everyone right now, if you're a leader in your industry, you need to be creating AI tools, at least AI prompt packs that you're giving out to the people, or you're selling to the others in your industry, so that you're also seen as someone who is leveraging AI and now giving value to other people in your industry.
That's really interesting. I mean, that's probably like the least gatekeepery thing that I've ever heard. Did you start doing that?
I do it all the
time.
I
mean, you're doing it like literally sitting here. When you advise somebody to do that, like, you think that that is just about thought leadership, or that's about like enhancing your own knowledge? Like, where does that come from?
It's both. I mean, in teaching, because I teach AI all the time, you know, I do these free summits and I do a lot of free events. It forces me to get better. And I teach AI in so many different industries, from tax professionals to daycare center owners to lawn care owners. That was the craziest one that I did. I had to learn. I was like, I haven't mowed a lawn since the sixth grade,
What are you telling somebody that is into lawn care about AI? Because you really, I mean, I think it's important for people to understand, because AI is really applicable to so many small businesses. And yet I think those barriers are really, really real. So when you go into a business like that, that seemingly has very little to do with technology, what kind of category and area are you going in? Are you looking at sales? sales? Are you looking at financials? Are you looking at business planning?
I'm looking at everything in their business. So I'll tell the AI tool, look, I am teaching lawn care owners about artificial intelligence, and I know nothing about the industry. Tell me their top 10 pain points. Tell me the places where they spend the most time, where it's time wasted. So one of the things that it says is they always have receipts and papers that need to be filed. So it said, show them how to take pictures of all their papers and receipts and turn it into an Excel spreadsheet. Something so simple. But when I showed that example, the people in the room stood up and they were like, oh my gosh, this is too easy. How come I never thought about that? All the way to writing proposals, to showing them their biggest time waster and where they spend money is if they go to your house and you say, hey, I want a new landscape design. They've got to go back to the office or hire someone to create that design. But now with AI, they can create 10 of those designs before they leave the customer and say, pick one. Here's three designs. Pick which one you want. And then they pick one of those designs. And then I showed them how to source all of the supplies and make their supply list, like just making things so much easier. Get the proposal written right there before you leave the client's house. Everything could be done if you really are leaning into AI in every aspect of your business.
So for somebody sitting at home right now who has a small business or a side hustle, what are the ways that they can actually start making money with AI?
There's so many different ways that they can do it. They really need to say, all right, this is where my business is now. And what is my goal? Where do I want to get to my business? So if you tell the AI tool, so you can say, based on everything you know about me and my business, I want you to help me get to $1 million in the next 12 months. I'm at $100,000 a year now. I want to get to $1 million in the year. And so you tell it about your business, ask me questions about my business and help me create my plan to reach my goal. And then tell it, act as the world's best business strategist who helps startups go from zero to $1 million with a 92% success rate. Like give it so much information on who you want it to be. If you could think about that person that's going to help you, who do you want them to be? What do you want their history to be? What do you want their success rate to be? And be realistic. That's why I said, 92% instead of 100%. But then it will give you your game plan. All it knows about your business, where you were and how to get to where you need to be. And then you're like, oh my gosh, show me this game plan every single month. What do I need to do every single month? And then the last thing you say is today is day number one. What should I do today? And it will tell you what to do today. And then it becomes your responsibility to go back at the end of the day and say, this is what I did today. You told me to call five people. I called six. Two of them, I set appointments for next week. Tomorrow's day two. What do I do tomorrow?
So you literally would go back to the AI with your results and self-report.
Absolutely.
How careful do you think people ought to be around putting in proprietary information?
Yeah,
I know that you mentioned
careful
to put the safeguards up, but how much should we feel comfortable sharing? If you do have a small business, are you uploading your financials, for example? Are you sharing client information? Like those two places would seem to me like absolute no-nos, but I'm interested to hear your perspective.
So you're always, whichever tool you're using, you're always going to get the business version of that tool. So spend a little bit extra and get the business version of that tool, because at the business layer, they have it defaulted to the information that you put in is not used to train their models and is more secure. So you always want to check security. If you're using a free version, you are making the biggest mistake. Don't ever use a free version as a business owner, because in the free version, usually the terms and conditions say, we're going to use the data to train its models.
Is that usually is that usually the biggest difference, like the safety, or are they like, as you upgrade, you're really thinking about like premium service?
Yeah. As you upgrade, you're going to get better outputs and you can put in more content and longer outputs. So you definitely want to think about that as a business owner too. So once you start to upgrade, you'd be like, I wish it would have, when I was using the free version, I wish it would have been this good. Like, is this what good is like at the paid level? So at the paid level, you're going to get better outputs, longer outputs. I mean, they're saving their premium for the people that are paying.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
But you advise small business owners immediately upgrade. You're like, that's the first thing that you should do.
Yep. And then the thing is, when you're buying these tools for your employees, make sure that you're buying them in the workspace. So for example, Claude, I just added a few new team members to my Claude Workspace, but I'm making sure that I'm adding them with their company email into the Claude Workspace. And then our rule is that when you're using Claude, please use it from the business level, the business workspace, not your own personal account, because I know that the safeguards are there when they're using it at that level.
I think that's really important for everybody to understand. It's absolutely key.
And whether you're using ChatGPT or Claude, like all of these tools have the levels now. They didn't have it when it first started, when, you know, back in 22, 23, but now they all have these levels for corporate and for teams. And you want to make sure that you're using that.
Well, and also just back to the point of what you said, like you are teaching the AI constantly. And so you want to also retain that information in the business AI tool, as opposed to it all being, you know, spread out all over the place.
And then I would say the next thing is that all of these tools also have in their security settings, like multi-factor authentication. Because not only do you want to protect the data that you're putting in, but you also want to protect your account so nobody else can ever get into your account. Set up that authentication where the notification comes to your phone, or they have to have your authenticator app in order to log into your account, because that's another level that you have to make sure you're securing your account, not with just good passwords, but with that authentication level that a lot of these tools have in their security settings.
I can imagine for some people sitting there that they're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to try this straight away. But for others, right, it can feel so foreign. It can feel like, here's a bunch of other stuff that I need to do. Here's another password. Here's another system. Here's another, you know, cost. How worth it? And when do you think it's worth it for a small business? Like, like in your experience, based on like all of the consultancy you do, is there a threshold at which you say, you know what, at this revenue level, you ought to be investing in enterprise AI? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So usually what I tell a business owner is, are you really ready to grow, multiply, and expand your business? If you answer yes to that question, then you need to put part of your budget into these AI tools. And I'm not saying to put a lot. I mean, just for Claude at that level, you can pay $25 a month for your team members to be on Claude. So just look at where your budget is, cancel something else to make sure that you're getting these AI tools, because it will change what your team can do for you as well. You know, Allie that you had on, she was talking about having an AI first team, right? Making sure that every member on your team is also using artificial intelligence when they go to complete a task, because it's your, you know, like as a company's money as well, you're paying them. You want to make sure that every team member is the most efficient.
One of the things that I read about from you is that you've kind of created a team that would otherwise cost you $30,000 a month. And so I'm so curious to understand, like, what are those roles? What does each one look like? How can people replicate that at home? If, you know, especially if they are on their own, they're running a business, they're feeling unbelievably stretched. Like, talk us through what that actually looks like in practice.
Right. And so this is called an AI team, or your AI staff, or your AI agents, which is what it's most commonly called. And so what I did, how I started off, is I started to think about, all right, in my dream company, the roles that I'm not hiring for right now, maybe it's because of budget or I can't find that person. Sometimes it's not budget, but how, you know, you can't find that person. What would those roles be? And so those roles are, okay, for my business, I need a sales copywriter. I need an email marketer. I need a social media caption writer. I need a video editor. And so now that I look at those roles, and then you say, well, what would I want those people to do? And then you say, all right, so can I create those roles? Can I create an AI agent who can do those things? So sales copywriter, absolutely. So all you have to do is start off with training it. And so I would go to ChatGPT, Claude, whichever tool, and say, I need to create an AI team member. And I want this AI team member's name to be Penny. And what Penny does is, she's our sales copywriter. And here's the type of copy that she writes. Here's our industry. Create the instructions for Penny for how she should act as our AI team member, what knowledge she should have, knowledge about our company, knowledge about sales copywriting. So now you've got the instructions for this team member, and you can build it in different tools. So you can build it in ChatGPT. You could build a super agent in Base 44. You could build it in Claude. The easiest way to do it for a beginner, so a complete beginner is like, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to go to find these tools. Whatever tool you're using, you can create that team member in the chat, and then you say, lock this team member in your memory. And so now ChatGPT will use as an example, Penny, sales copywriter, writes copy like this, all this kind of stuff, lock it in your memory. Penny is locked in my memory as your AI team member sales copywriter. Done. 2 days later, I open up ChatGPT.
Hey, Penny.
Write some sales copy. I'm like, hey, Penny. And then it comes up and it says, Penny's here, your AI team member. What do you need today? I need some sales copy. And what happens is, it'll say thinking for a minute because it's going back to the instructions
to figure out how she does things.
How does she do things? And then it will write the sales copy. So you don't have to go through that whole process again of this is a sales copy and this is how you should do it. And this, I always want a PS on my sales copy and you have to have this because she's already been trained on it. So it makes your going from idea to execution so quick because you've trained whichever tool you're using how to do this.
How automated can you make that? Because sure. I can imagine right now, if you're listening to this and you're a team of one and you're like, okay, I've been desperate to hire these three roles. I have an org chart, but I have not quite the infrastructure, not quite the revenue to be sure. able to hire these people. I'm going to go and train and I'm going to create three team members. You then have to figure out how you're going to utilize them. You've then got to like be able to call on them when you need them. How much of that can be automated so that you are literally working as if, you know, you come in the office at 9 a.m, you say hello to everybody in your office and go off to the races?
Right.
Or are you having to start afresh every day?
Of course, it depends on what they want. But the tool that I love to do this with is Claude. And so because Claude can also create, let's say in my case, for my business, landing pages, images, ads, those sort of things. So I would go to Claude and I would say, hey, Claude, let's call up the team. Or you just call up the one person who runs the team. I say person, AI agent who runs a team. So for us, we have Mark. He's a product launch specialist. We name all of our AI agents. So we give them a name.
Oh, you would have to.
Yeah, we have to. We give them a name. We even create an AI image of what they look like. They have a resume.
No,
they
don't.
Have a job description.
No, you don't. You don't create a picture of what they look like.
Of course. Of course. Because you need to visualize them on your org chart. And then you need to also, if it's not just for you, also for your team members. So when we call on Mark, I know what Mark
looks
like.
Like your real team members or the team members that live in AI?
Your real team members. So your real team members. So here's the thing. When I first started to integrate AI agents into our business, I was like, all right, we're going to go use the press release bot. Nobody wants to use a press release bot. So everybody was like, yeah, yeah. So you're in your team meeting. Come on, everybody. We're going to use a press release bot today. So then I said, well, how do I usually integrate new members into my team? I was like, oh, I always show them the resume, the job description, what this person is going to do, what they look like the day before they're coming onto the team so we can all welcome them. Well, let's try that with an AI agent. So then it's like Franny was one of our first team members. So I show a picture of Franny, her job description, what she does. Everybody laughs. And they're like, this is really an AI team member? I said,
I'm trying not to laugh at you, but go ahead. Yeah.
But
you're for real with this.
I'm for real.
When you say you've created like this team,
correct.
Like you really created the team.
Correct. Yes. You really created
the team. And they are a bunch of AI agents
correct.
That are phantom team members doing real work within correct. Your company.
Correct. And they help out the real team members so much. So the real team member that had to write the press release now goes to Jerry, who's the press release writer, and is trained on how press releases are written for our company. And she just says, hey, Jerry. And Jerry said, what are we writing a press release about today? She answers the question. He asks 5 questions and then a perfectly formatted press release comes out. So, you know, the way that you integrate them, the way that you integrate them in your team is so important. So that's how I integrate them into my team and it's worked. And I integrate them into our clients' teams that way. So when I'm, and of course, if you're somebody who's looking to like sell AI integration to a client, imagine you go to this client and you're like, hey, I've created your AI team for you. Here's the org chart of how they all look. Here's their job descriptions. Here's their resume. So your client is looking at that and saying, okay, I understand all these AI agents and who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. Now show me the next step, how I'm supposed to use them. So, you know, when I called it the press release bot, go use the press release bot. Nobody wants to use it. But now I'm like, go call on Jerry and have him write your press release. Everybody laughs and they go call on Jerry.
And they go call on Jerry.
It's an easier way to integrate it into a human team.
So talk to me just a little bit about like an onboarding process,
sure.
because this is something that I am absolutely like militant about, because
okay.
when you come into one of our companies, we spend a long time integrating you into the culture, showing you what the product is, talking about mission, vision, values, making sure, you know, there's even like a buddy system where somebody for a month is going to look after you to make sure that you get in, you know how all of the systems work, you have somebody that you're going to lunch with, you know, all of the things. Inevitably, in all companies, there are problems down the road.
Right.
Like I'm asking you almost 2 questions. The first one is that I want to know, how do you do this in the most responsible way for the people, the real people that are working in your company, but also for the business?
Sure.
And have you encountered any issues?
Yeah. let's start off with issues. Yeah, there were some team members who said, I'm not working with AI, and they're not with us anymore. If that's not something that you want to do, I'm not going to tell you to stay and do it. But, you know, as we grow, multiply, and expand our business, we are using AI. And that's been our biggest multiplier, is integrating and using AI in our business. So there's team members who haven't stayed, and, you know, it is what it is. But that's a decision that I made as the CEO of the company, that if you're not willing to work with AI, you're not going to be as productive and as efficient as everyone else. And they're going to leave you behind. So
fair.
You can say bye.
So then flip that on its head. What does it look like for you guys integrating those team members in and making sure that everybody is working well together? Because that's what I'm asking.
Like, yeah,
as you decide that more and more of these bots or these agents are coming in, how do you include them? And also, like, how do you set them up for success? Because I'm sure there are those naysayers that are like, I'm not working with Mark, this weird, like, you know, press release bot. Like, what happens then?
Well, here's the thing. Everybody wants their job to be easier.
Yes, they do.
Right? And so if I say, hey, if I introduced a tool that could make your job easier, are you interested? Yes or no? Are you interested?
I'm interested.
Yeah,
all day long.
Right? And so we have a girl on our team, Ava. She's been with us 9 years, and she used to have to do the transcription for the sessions that I did. She had to listen to the transcripts and make notes from them. Now I'm saying, if you just put it in this AI tool right here with this one prompt, you don't ever have to do that again in your life. Are you interested? What do you think she says?
She's like, sign me up.
Hurry up.
I feel like every single person that's listening at home is making a list of all the shit parts of their job that they can train somebody else to do.
And that's what you just said is like the golden ticket. If you think about the parts of your business that you don't want to do, and you say, can AI do this for me? And then you're like, yes, it can. Your life will be completely different. So the one thing that I don't want to do is check my emails. Emma, I am so bad at checking my emails. Are you good at checking your emails?
I am absolutely beautiful at checking my emails. I go to sleep almost every day with like a minimal amount of, you know, I'm one of those crazy people.
Wow.
I have to have everything like fully opened. But, you know, I'm psycho and I'm kind of up at midnight looking through emails and messages.
I will tell you that you are very rare.
No, I know this. I have a husband who has 7,000 emails like unopened. So like, I know that I'm not the norm.
Yeah, you are not the norm. But the average person that has a lot of emails, they're saying to themselves, I don't want to do this. Email overload. Most people have email overload. So if I said to them, I will show you an AI agent that's going to check your email, read your email, respond to emails for you, action on anything, add things to your calendar, you're going to have this executive assistant or chief AI officer on your team or AI agent that's going to do the work for you. Are you interested? People are like, yes, I have 437,234 unread emails. How could you help me? And so today for me is day 93 without writing an email, like without typing an email myself.
Out of town. No, it's not.
Yeah. So my AI agent.
You haven't written an email for 3 months.
Correct. So my AI, but I'm
show
the
me
best.
Your email. I need to understand. Are they like grammatically correct? Are they better saying what you say?
Better than I've ever, you know, I am grammatically incorrect.
But then
sometimes.
I can't even fathom not writing emails. Because if you don't write the email and such writes back, are you reading all the emails?
No.
Like, how are you keeping tabs? You're not in the conversation anymore. You're not the decision maker.
I am the decision maker still, but the AI agent is telling me the emails that are coming in and asking me how to respond to them. So I have an agent. I talk to my agent on Telegram or WhatsApp. You can choose what tool you want.
Mm-hmm.
And my agent, his name is Maximus, by the way. And so
I love these names.
Maximus.
I love these names. Yeah. I could have great fun with all my unused kids' names have on my phone. Yeah,
I love it.
This is great.
I love it. So Maximus actually will tell me the emails that I have coming in and then how I want to respond to the emails. I connected him to my calendar as well.
Yes.
So he tells me about my flights. Like when I landed, Maximus said, oh, welcome to, you're now here and I hope your flight was good. Don't forget this, this, and this. Here's your hotel. Here's the address. Because it added the things on my calendar when the hotel was booked. So I'm able to use AI to make my life better and more efficient. And so everybody will tell you on my team and the partners I have and that I've worked with that I am the best email responder now that I've ever been in my life. Like my entire life as a business owner, I've been an entrepreneur for 26 years and I've always been bad on my email, but I'm not missing things anymore because my AI agent is checking them for me, telling me how to respond, what to do. And then sometimes I'll have my AI agent send emails as Maximus. So it'll say, I'm Maximus, Alicia's chief AI of staff. And then the answer to the email and everything that they need to know, he'll attach my headshot and my bio if it needs to be attached. So I give him the information that he needs to be the most efficient assistant for me. And my assistant who used to do that and used to help me with that, he's off doing something else that's more high value in our company right now.
So talk to me about what has to stay human, because in your experience, and you do have real life employees, like what does that even look like? Like what have you tried to augment with AI that hasn't worked?
Yeah. So relationships, you know, the level of customer service that we provide and the relationships, and we do a lot of live events. I mean, we've hired more humans in this AI team, you know, the AI revolution right now. We've hired more people than I've ever hired in the 26 years of being an entrepreneur.
Because you've become so much more productive.
Correct.
And so much more able to service your clients through the use of AI.
And our business is growing and scaling so much. But as people want to learn AI, they want to learn it from people. They don't want to learn it from a chatbot. Totally. They want to learn it from people. And as we go in and upskill, we do a lot of upskilling in corporations and government agencies. They want to learn from a human. So we're going in and teaching them and training them how to upskill their whole workforce on AI.
So where are the lines for you? Where are the places where you say, no, thank you. I know in my own businesses, we've been very, very clear about, like, let's say the use of AI models. That's not something that we're taking advantage of right now, despite it being easier, more cost efficient, better from a time point of view. Where do you look and with everything that you know and say, you know what, like that's a line for me?
Two answers to that question. One, I hired a compliance officer. So someone who has experience.
Person?
Yes, a person.
We're going to need to make real.
She's a human.
We're going to need to distinguish this stuff.
But she comes from a cybersecurity background and security background. So she's looking at everything that we're doing and making sure that the things that we're doing are secure and saying yes or no, Alicia. So, you know, that level of security is there. So I tell people, like, as your company is growing and scaling, hire someone who knows about what you can and cannot do so that you do have that level of security for the company. So even if you have these grand ideas of what you want to do, they're like, bring it back just a little because we can't do that for this client because of these different type of regulations or laws. And then I will also say that we also think about our customers first. Like the customers don't want to experience AI on these different levels.
Fair.
So how can we make sure that the customer experience is better that we're using AI? We have more time to do the things that matter to our customers because we're not spending all the time, you know, doing these things that are not as important to the customer. So now everything that's customer facing, I am more customer facing now than ever before.
Yeah. My point of view is everything in business is better when you put the decision-making through the lens of what is best for the customer. And so if you're always ultimately in service of your customers, you're going to make the best decisions for your business. And I actually think even as you think about AI, that's a really kind of safe way to start thinking, okay, what should we do and what shouldn't we do?
Right.
So give it to me, like, as you said something, you know, that blows my mind right now because I can never imagine not writing my own emails. But for those of us that are sitting here, we're running businesses, top three things that an entrepreneur, a founder, a CEO, a leader of the company ought to do.
Sure.
If email is the first one, what are the other two things that we should do to just increase our efficiency?
Yeah, I would say marketing, because we all need to do more marketing. So whether that's social media marketing, content creation and writing. Outsource your marketing to your AI. So you could I created 245 ad campaigns in just minutes with Claude Code. So the marketing that would normally take weeks to do, I'm able to do it with AI. And then
you're talking about marketing for your company to your clients.
Correct.
Got it. Or to potential prospects.
Correct. And if you're doing client work as well, you can get so much done so much faster. And then the last thing that I would say is that definitely use it for prospecting. So as you're looking to get more clients, you're asking yourself, how can I get in front of my clients? And what are different ways? Where are my clients? You can use AI for just really great research that will tell you how to get in front of your clients. So every day, my AI chief of staff gives me 10 different ways to get in front of new clients. Where I live in Atlanta, these 5 events are going on. You should go to these events today. Here's what you can plan for the rest of your week and how to position yourself at the events. And here's 5 people that you need to lean into and have conversations with. So you can use AI to bring opportunities right to you that you might not be thinking about. And if every day it brought you 10 opportunities that you should go after and you just pick one a day, you're doing so much better in your business than not having that.
So you're saying email, business-to-business marketing, prospecting.
Correct.
Take those three things immediately and you're just going to increase your efficiency.
Correct.
What do you think? Tenfold? Twentyfold? Like, what do you... Give me a number.
It depends on how hard you go, right? We did it sevenfold in our business. So it depends on
really,
how good...
Really, that much?
Yes, that much.
Wow, that is bloody impressive. Yeah. That's actually crazy to me.
It's crazy. But you really have to say, I'm going to lean into AI and see how AI can... help me. But if you don't actually take action on the different things that it's doing for you, then what good is it?
Let's name names. I want you to get like sharp on the actual tools that you're using and what you're using them for.
So I use a tool called Base44 for creating what we call super agents. And these are the agents that can talk to you on WhatsApp or Telegram. So can I just ask you, as an American,
when you say WhatsApp, Telegram, I'm English, that all makes sense to me. Why WhatsApp and Telegram? Because in America, I feel like nobody's on WhatsApp.
Yeah, so then they use iMessage or Telegram, right?
But you can use anything.
You can use anything.
Okay, fine.
You can use anything.
Base44, you said.
Yeah, Base44. Okay. And so basically what Base44 says is that your AI agent can talk to you where you communicate with it most. I'm on WhatsApp, so I use WhatsApp and Telegram, but other people use iMessage or however you're going to communicate with your agent. And then you tell your agent what you want it to do and you connect it with the tools that you want it to have access with, right? And I always recommend testing it out first, test it out on your personal Gmail before you would ever do anything else. So test it, look at the security. Base44 has some good security in it, but I like doing that. And then it can also build mobile apps. So I build apps and you can either launch them in the app store or you can put them right on your phone. So I have apps for my community on digital literacy so they can learn AI more. It's not in the app store, but I send it to them and they can save it on their phone as a mobile app that they can go to at any time to have their learning with them at all times. So it can build websites for you. So I really like that tool. I like ChatGPT for its image creation right now. It's crazy what ChatGPT images. They look really good. Gemini, so Google's tool, is great at image creation too. Mm-hmm. Gemini Nano Banana. Manus.im is my favorite tool for presentations. I've tested every presentation, like for PowerPoints and slides. Yes. I've tested every tool and no tool can beat Manus when you know how to do it. And so when you know how to use that tool, and here's the trick. So you tell it exactly the style of the presentation that you want, and then you tell it to create the presentation as if you had paid $20,000 for it. So once you give it that parameter, you'll see the presentation will change
so much. Sorry, I'm laughing because back in the day, you know, I was someone who charged $20,000 for presentations. So I would have been out of business. That's just it. My marketing days would be well and truly over. Thank God I'm out of that.
But when you tell it that, so I tested it before and I was like, not so good. And then I actually worked with a client. A client was like, do you know how much we pay for our presentations? $20,000 to get our presentations done. So I typed it in there, act as if you were paid $20,000. Boom, such a beautiful presentation that it blows people minds away, especially like the whiteboard style presentation. Mm. So I love Manus for presentations. All of my presentations are done on Manus. Claude has released so many new products so quickly, and they're really good, from everything from, you know, writing different things, content writing, to once you learn how to use Claude Code and Claude Cowork, it can do so much for you, creating your images, creating videos for you all in one go. It's really amazing. My favorite part about Claude's new tools is they have a Chrome extension. And so the Claude Chrome extension, you can put it, let's say you put it on your website and then you open up the Claude Chrome extension. And so you can find this in the Chrome store. So the Google Chrome store, and it lives in your extension toolbar, but you have to be on Google Chrome. And then you're like, look at my website and tell me all the ways that I can improve my website. Act as if you're a website usability tester.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll actually watch the tool click on every button on your website. It'll say your navigation button FAQ is not working. The colors are off. It will tell you everything that you need to know. And you will sit back and you will watch it scroll your website and click on everything. And you're like, this is amazing. I'm going to go get some coffee, come back, or in your case, tea, and come back. And you watch it do all of the work and then it's done. So,
I mean, so crazy. I'm really interested in your point of view because there's so much chat right now, specifically when AI, I guess, advice is aimed at women. right? And a lot of it is aimed at women right now. And it's almost like this idea of like, either you learn this or you're going to get replaced, learn this or you're going to get left behind. I'm interested what you would say to people that are really worried about AI right now.
Mm-hmm. So first, with what you're saying about women, here's the thing about women and artificial intelligence, and LinkedIn puts out this data. So in 2026, LinkedIn put out data that says the number one job or opportunity to have right now is an AI engineer. And only 18% of those roles are had by women, only 18%. And then an AI consultant and strategist, which is what I am. And it's like only 20%, 20-something percent of those are held by women. So traditionally, artificial intelligence roles and those who dig into artificial intelligence are men. So the thing that people say about women and AI, I would say, listen, when women get their hands on AI, they are unstoppable, because there's so many things that we are multitaskers, right? I'm a multitasker. But if I can have my AI agents doing all this work and I can watch the multitasking going on, I'm in heaven right now. Like, this is the best thing. So you're watching all the AI agents do the work. And in that case, we are so excited about what AI can do for us. So my audience is mostly women that I teach and train. I'm probably over 90% women that I teach and train, and I've seen them do such amazing things. And they're teaching and training AI in government agencies, organizations all over. So I do love that. And then when it comes to other, you know, just generally women and men and their fear of getting started with AI, or their reluctance or not getting started right now, or they don't think that it's for them, I would always ask them, like, what are your bottlenecks that you're having? Like, if you could just pick one problem to solve with AI, just one, just pick one problem to solve with AI. And when AI solves that problem for you, you're like, let me pick another problem AI can solve. And then you become to be more of an AI user the more that you use it. But we all have problems that need solving, whether it's in our personal life, our 100%. Business life.
We all have problems, but is there nothing about AI actually replacing jobs concerns you?
Yes, of course. You need to know about the risk out there. You need to know about, you know, the security.
But do you feel like we're being educated about the risk in as much, because listen, I am so interested in what I would never have you on the show if I didn't think that you could genuinely help people and specifically help people around their small businesses. But I want to understand like the counter argument to that.
Yeah.
And also just for awareness to make people understand, is there nothing about what you're doing where you're like, well, this does feel a little concerning. This is something that I'm worried about. And there are some ways that we can future-proof ourselves.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're teaching AI on such a level that I'm like, anybody that's a, you know, executive assistant doing what Maximus can do for me right now, I'm really worried about you. Because if we really do teach, you know, anybody who has that executive assistant that's managing their calendar and their email and their appointments and booking their tickets, they should be very worried, because AI can do that role for them. And then when we start to think about the AI training that we're doing in corporations and government, there's people that don't want to lean all into AI, and they are definitely going to suffer, because what companies are also saying right now is, we're going to lay off the people that don't want to dive into AI, that aren't AI literate, in order to hire. So they're still hiring people, but they're hiring people that are AI literate when they are hiring. So
you think it's actually a form of protecting yourself in an organization?
Yeah, definitely. And we teach a lot of professionals that work in organizations and government, and they said, I don't want to be replaced by AI. And this is my only way to future-proof myself, is to learn AI, because we're in the AI revolution, and AI is not a trend. It's not going to be like, oh, I didn't learn it, now I don't have to because AI is gone. No, we're just going farther and farther into this AI into this AI world. And so people really need to learn it. And I do understand the hesitations. And, you know, I am an optimist and an AI enthusiast. And so when I teach people AI, I'm saying, well, right now, look at how you can benefit from it so that you do get ahead. And see how you can benefit from it. But, you know, the big thing I tell people with the advancements coming so quickly is, you better learn it and teach your family as well. So in our family, we have a family password. So if anybody ever gets a phone call and they think it's me, or they think it's somebody in our family, the AI never knows our family password. So the kid or my mom can say, what's a family password? And that AI can never do it. So you need to understand AI enough as well in order to protect the people around you that you love, because there's, you know, we see AI, of course, duplicating our voices, duplicating.
Oh, so many scary things. And I love that you mentioned that and your kids. How are you, and listen, you're in the best place to answer this question, but how are you thinking about AI and children and how you bring them on board, how you give them enough exposure that there's an interest level and there's, you know, because kids are adaptable, right? They're going to move from whichever platform to whichever platform. But how do you do that in a safe and responsible way?
Yeah. So we do a lot of kids events and the kids.
You do?
We do. And the kids, let me just say this, they are so much faster at everything that they learn than the adults are. So we'd say, right, this class is going to take 3 hours. An hour later, those kids are done. And they like the things that they're creating with AI. A really good example was I did an event and for girls, and a girl in the audience, we were teaching AI images, and she—
What type of age?
This was eighth grade. So they were mostly eighth grade. So we were teaching AI images. And so we say, okay, show your work now. So she came up and showed her work on her computer. And she said, I always wanted to be in fashion, but I can't draw. And I took drawing classes on YouTube and I couldn't draw, but I was able to tell the AI what I wanted. And I was able to create this. And she showed it to the class and she's like, it's off of a game. So she created this, you know, fashion dress off of a game. And she said, I can now live my dreams of being in fashion. And I don't know how to draw because I can tell the AI. So we moved on to do other things in class. And I called on her, how are you doing with it? And she's like, I am so sorry. I just created my whole fashion line. And she was so excited. She kept going on what she had seen as her win. But, you know, kids are really able to say, all right, what have I always wanted to do? Maybe I can do something like that with AI, but they also need to know what they can and cannot do, especially for school.
Yes.
So when it comes to school, every school has to set their parameters. The teachers have to set their parameters. And, you know, especially in college, we're seeing that employers only want to hire college kids. You know, we're looking at 75% of the hires have to come with some AI skills. So if the college is saying, we don't want our kids to use AI at all, but the employer is saying, we're only hiring college graduates that are AI literate, have an AI portfolio, have done stuff in AI, then are you doing them a disservice by not incorporating AI into the classes before they graduate?
Well, 1,000,000%. And I mean, what concerns me is, you know, as a woman in her early 40s, like you would want to have that same AI portfolio, right?
Absolutely.
You would want to understand and have enough that should you want to change your job, should you be thinking about a pivot,
you are
it
so
needs
right.
to be in your back pocket.
You are so right. And so that's why, you know, we need to lean into AI. So what I like to do when I train people, it's like, okay, open up whatever, ChatGPT images, put this prompt in, make a flyer for your business. And they put the prompt in, they make a flyer for their business, upload your picture, talk about your business, put your website in there. The flyer comes out looking amazing. And they're like, I never knew I could do that.
I never understood it. That's what I think it comes down to. So if you are just starting out and you want to, you know, really just use AI to take a little bit of the weight off, what's a starter plan that you would give someone to dip their toe in? Because I think you're right. There's some people, some of us that are using it like a search engine, some of us that are like way more progressed and have figured out a couple of apps outside of the newer, like the more obvious ones. And then you have those super advanced people. But what is the best way for somebody to say, I actually just want to increase my education wherever I'm at?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So for someone who just wants to increase their education, they can go to ChatGPT and or Claude, whatever tool you're using, open up the tool and say, you know, this is who I am. This is what my job is, or this is the business that I own. I want to be more AI literate in the next 30 days. Could you devise a plan for me to help me increase my AI literacy in the next 30 days? I'm going to come to you every single day to learn something new. Give me a challenge. Give me a prompt. I want to learn images, video. And then the AI tool will come back and say, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked. I will be your AI coach for the next 30 days. And I've done this.
It's like every single day,
something new. But it's up to you to report back. Okay, I did this. Here's my result. And you'll see the AI tool grows with you. And this is where the memory function of these AI tools comes in really handy, because it starts to learn about you and what you're doing. And the next lesson will either feed off of something that you did, or it'll be more relatable to you and your business or your profession. But I've seen people do this. And at the end of 30 days, some people do it longer. They are at a totally different place when they were than when they started.
I'm always so impressed with you because, and again, you've been praised quite a lot for your ethical use of AI, but what does ethical AI look like to you in business most specifically?
Sure. And it's different for every business. Yeah. But when we're talking about AI and the use of AI, it's really teaching people how to use it responsibly and then teaching them what that means and what bias means as well, and the output of these different AI tools, and do I trust what AI gives me the first time, and how do I really understand where the source came from? So in teaching people these different things, they know that, okay, now AI is not a tool that I go to and it's a magical tool and I get the right answer every time. No, it's a relationship that you have to have with these tools. And then also what you put out there that's generated by AI, are you saying that it's generated by AI?
And, that.
Right?
Because it's an embarrassment to that, right? It's still right now, right? I would definitely not feel comfortable generating a bunch of questions from today's episode and passing those back to my producers and going, I did this on AI. Like, that would feel to me like a cop-out somehow.
Right. And so you have to think about for you. So that's for you, right? Everybody has to think about for them, how much are they willing to generate with AI and put their name on it as well.
But it's also so much about your, and I'm interested to explore this with you a little bit, because to me, it's not just about the ethics of it. It's like, well, who am I and what am I doing and how do I progress and learn? And so for me, what I do is like, I like to have a starting point. I like to use AI to like elevate what's already there, right? It's like, yes. I take what I know and my point of view and what I was thinking, and then I put it in and I'm like, make this better.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? But yes. The starting point has to be me. Like, the starting point needs to come from a place of my viewpoint, my life experience and all the rest. And of course, you're absolutely right. Like, the AI learns you,
that's
amazing. But I feel like I don't want to be brain dead, right? It's like, I want to be always in learning mode. And so it's like, I have to, and again, I say the same thing to my kids. I'm like, you can check any type of work you have, but have an answer first and then pop your answer in and see how you can refine it and how you can make it better. But there has to be like a baseline.
And then you'll feel like that work is more genuinely you than anything else. Because if you can tell AI generated work and that they, if somebody hasn't put any effort into.
You saw that sermon, right? That was the worst one ever. The priest.
Yes.
And then read the prompt at the end of the thing. I was like, girl, I was so annoyed that that was a word.
I get emails sometimes that says, this is the perfect email to send Alicia. And you're like, oh my God, at least delete that. But then I was like, well, at least your email was organized really well. And I understand.
Well, you would see the bright side of it. But I think the ethical thing is important. And again, laying claim to what you're allowing AI to do for you, I think is an important part. If I was sending emails out that were auto-generated, I would say that. Mostly just to cover my tracks in case something fucking weird is in there.
Right.
But I think that there's a part of that that we've got to learn the etiquette around AI and we've got to learn what our comfort levels are. And then we have to, you know, it's almost like share that information so that there's a baseline of understanding of what is AI? What is real? What is you? What is me? And what are we?
That's right. And like, a lot of times when my AI twin generates things for me, she's like, hey, this is Alicia's AI avatar. She's off doing something else today. So we incorporate that into the message even, and people respect that, oh, it's coming from, you know, it's her AI twin. It's not actually her, you know, that's doing something like that. So
when it comes to money and revenue, like, what does that look like? When you start to talk to AI about increasing revenue, and again, if you were starting from nothing, that would be an absolute like must.
Right.
So give me the, like, what would be the questions and what are the ways that you've actually seen revenue increases?
Sure.
Like, forget about the time and the staffing. Like, I'm interested to understand like how AI can actually help you make money.
So I went to AI and a couple of years ago and I said, this is what I'm doing. Where is my opportunity? What am I not seeing? What am I missing? And it's saying, you're teaching in corporations, you're teaching in government. Where's your certification training the trainers? You can't multiply yourself. You can't go off and teach all these places. Why aren't you training other people? And I'm like, why am I not training other people? And then it gave me some projections on if I could do that. And so it helped me to—
And you trusted those projections?
Absolutely. I've exceeded those projections. And so sometimes you can't see what's right in front of you. You can't see that, right? And so I was like, well, let me try this because what do I have to lose? Absolutely nothing.
So you started this phase of your career based on something AI told you to do.
Absolutely. absolutely. That time that I spent with ChatGPT, and
that was literally a game changer.
Yeah, it was literally a game changer for me, because one of the biggest questions that I asked ChatGPT, I said, you are free right now, and so many people have gotten on you faster than they've gotten on any other tool in history. What's the projection looking like for the next few years of people that are just going to want to know how to use you? I wasn't even thinking about the tools that were going to come after, but people who want to use you. And it was like, well, every corporation, every agency is going to need to upskill its workforce on artificial intelligence. So I would go all in on everything AI. And that's one of our things that we say, all in with AI. It's one of our mantras for our business. And so I had to have that hard meeting with my team that says, we are a digital marketing agency before that. I said, we are not going to be a digital marketing agency anymore. So first of all, when I had the team meeting, everybody thought they were going to get fired because I spent 2 weeks with ChatGPT. But I'm like, no,
we're just- she's replacing us. We're about to become a bunch of agents with weird names.
Right? I was like, no, we're just going to go all in with AI because I believe, and ChatGPT told me that this is where the world is going. And it also said that we're in the beginning of a revolution. It was like, watch, this is going to be the start of the AI revolution. And then it taught me about the history of revolutions and how things change. Jobs will be lost, more jobs will be gained. And it just gave me a big overview of that. And so we pivoted our company and we went from a company, we used to be called Monetized Marketing, and now we're AI Innovation. And we made that pivot, which was the best decision I ever made in business.
Wow. Good for you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for
Thank you.
I'm so glad to see that this is working out so well for you. I mean, honestly, I watch you online. I binge your content. I feel like I learned so much from you. It's unbelievable.
Thank you.
But you happen to have an incredible, not just teaching style, but I think more than that, like a way of speaking so that the information is like digestible and applicable immediately. And I think there's so much that people that we all have to learn, right? But you do it in a way that's just really easy. And I can see why you've been so successful beyond like actually understanding AI. You're just, you have to be great in business. Is there something right now when you think about the future for both yourself and for your company, what does that look like for you? What are you aspiring to next?
I'm really aspiring to train more people and to make sure that I can teach as many people as possible to cash in on the AI revolution. So when you see an opportunity and the time of the opportunity, like let's go all in. So where I see our company going is growing so much bigger with our certification. So we're an accredited organization. We got accredited. Our courses are accredited. So I'm leaning all into the certification because with certifications and a community of people that help each other, those people are rising to such great levels. They're outdoing me in their successes and their Amazing. Success stories. You know, my mission and vision is just to really build communities of amazing AI enthusiasts who are out there teaching and training in the world and helping people to not get left behind in the AI revolution and to take everything that they learn and leverage it. We train in a way that we call dramatic demonstration. So if I can show you how I do something and you're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And then you can do it and you're like, I'm amazing.
Boom. Yeah.
Right. And now we've got you excited about it. And I know that that can change your life and change your business and change your trajectory. So we're really excited about building a company that really looks at how we can train as many people as possible and then train those people to go off and train as many people as they can.
If you fast forward, not too far into the future,
sure.
but take me 5 years into the future, like what does this all look like?
I used to say when I got asked this question, it all looks like we are doing less work. Our 40-hour work week is now 10 and we're watching our AI agents doing all the work. But now that's already happening. So I was like, what I said 5 years was going to look like is already happening right now. I think it's just going to happen at a more intense level. So the work that we're doing right now, a lot of that work is going to be so automated and so AI'd. We already see people with the humanoids in their house folding their laundry and doing the things for them. Yes, I do have a robot that vacuums my floors. And, I lean into technology as much as possible, but we're going to be in a place where AI isn't, it already isn't so much that we do, but in everything that we do, from our homes to our personal lives, to our families, to our business and our jobs. And so, yeah, I think we're going to be watching the AI agents that are going to be doing all the work. Be like, you could do better. do it
you,
again.
you could literally be doing better. I think I know the answer to this. Worried, not worried?
Both.
Fair enough. All right, I'm going to take you to some rapid fire.
Okay.
First question. All right, what's a tool you were skeptical of 6 months ago that you now use every day?
Claude Code.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the one that we use the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. What's a tool everyone is hyping that you don't actually use?
OpenClaw.
Really?
Yes.
And why not?
Just because of the security concerns right now around OpenClaw, and I can get Claude Code and other tools like Manus to do what OpenClaw does. And my clients, most of my clients don't want to be anywhere near that.
Who is the voice that you're listening to for news and for information?
I'm listening to many voices for news and information. I would say that for AI news, I love Matt Wolf. So I watch him on YouTube for his AI news. For information, I get information every day from my AI agents from multiple sources. And then one of the things that we did on our team was we hired one person who every morning at 9 a.m. tells the whole team what's happened in the past 24 hours.
Person?
A human person, yes.
Just checking. All right, the last question that I like to ask absolutely everybody. Is there a book that changed your life?
When I was younger, I read The Babysitter's Club. And this changed my life because it started my entrepreneurship journey. So inside The Babysitter's Club, there was a chapter where the kids made a flyer and they started their first business. And it was for pet sitting and for house sitting, pet sitting, walking and house sitting. And me and my sister made the same flyer. I was in the sixth grade and we made it out of crayons and put it in all of our neighbors' mailboxes. And our neighbor hired us that weekend to watch his house and babysit his dog and pet sit. And that book changed my life because that's the book that turned me into an entrepreneur was The Babysitter's Club.
That is unreal. I love that. And so an entrepreneur was born.
Yes.
Congratulations. Thank you. I'm so happy for you for all of your success.
Thank
well done
you.
To you.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Alicia. Thank you. Amazing. You're so great. If you're loving this podcast, be sure to click follow on your favorite listening platform. While you're there, give us a review and a 5-star rating and share an episode you loved with a friend. We'll be so grateful. Aspire with Emma Greed is presented by Audacy. I'm your host, Emma Greed. Our executive producers are Ashley McShann, Derek Brown, and me. Executive producers from Audacy are Asha Saluja and Leah Rees-Dennis. Producer, KK Sublime. Stephen Key is our senior producer. Sound design and engineering by Bill Schultz. Angela Peluso is our booker. Original music by Charles Black. Video production by Phil Sweetek and Carlos Delgado. Social media by Olivia Homan, Catherine Bale. Special thanks to Brittany Smith, Sydney Ford, my teams at The Lead Company and WME, Josephina Francis, Hilary Schaff, Eric Donnelly, Kate Hutchinson-Rose, Tim Meikle, Evan Cox, Kurt Courtney, Andrew Steele, Sean Cherry, and Lauren Vieira. If you have questions for me, you can DM me at Aspire with Emma Greed. Greed is spelled G-R-E-D-E. That's Aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E, with Emma Greed. Or you can submit a question to me on my website, emmagreed.me.